word. Father, I pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight. May the soil of our hearts be receptive to the great seed of your word. And as that word finds its place in our hearts, may it germinate and produce great fruit in and through our lives. Have your way today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Many of you have heard that phrase. You might not know the source of it. You may not know the full meaning of it, but it's part of the basis of classical mechanics. It's Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. In other words, when something is acted upon or force is initiated, there is an equal and opposite reaction to that force that has been exercised. Rockets move forward, not out of the clear blue sky. It pushes hot exhaust gases backward, which thrusts the rocket forward or upward. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. When you are taking a walk or taking a stroll, you push the ground backward. You don't think about it, but you are pushing the ground backward, which makes you go forward. And the faster you push it backward, the faster you go forward. Because for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You shoot a gun, and that gun has a kick. That kick is because of the bullet that is being expended from that gun, the gases that have been created. And so when the bullet goes forward, the gun goes backward. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Now, Newton was talking about mechanics. He's talking about physics. But what Sir Isaac Newton didn't know was that that third law of nature shows up in our lives, and in particular, in our spiritual lives. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. In other words, there are moments, there are times when our attitudes produce certain outcomes, when our actions produce certain situations. And that's what we have in 2 Samuel chapter 6. This sister by the name of Michal shows us this third law of motion in a spiritual sense. Here's what I mean. David danced before the Lord, and Michal's reaction was she despised his dancing. David's action was worship. Michal's reaction was contempt. David's action was delight in the Lord. Michal's reaction was disdain for him and disrespect toward him. David's action was celebration. Michal's reaction was criticism. David's action was humility before God, and Michal's reaction was pride in front of people. Newton says, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Spiritually speaking, when worship goes up, expect criticism to push back. When joy rises, jealousy resists. When humility dances, pride rolls its eyes. But here's the deeper layer. Her contempt, Michal's contempt, her disdain for David didn't stop David's blessings. It stopped her own blessings. She reacted low and her life remained low. She despised what God was doing and she disconnected herself from the blessings that God wanted to provide her. Scripture says that actions can change outcomes. And when someone else is blessing God, the question is, are you blessing God with them, or does that give you an opportunity to see the bitterness in your own heart? Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to overcome bitterness so you can be blessed. And this is part two of this little message within a series. And today I want to continue our look at Michael, and what I want to do is help you take a look at yourself, because I believe that there are many of you who are living far below the blessings that God has for your life. And it has nothing to do with the people that you are blaming for what they haven't done in your life. For many of you, it's the bitterness that has taken hold within your life. And what you have done is made other people the victims for your own unresolved bitterness. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need the outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. I've given you a lot of information today. Those of you who are watching, if you'd like to download the outline, you can get a download of that outline going to our church app or go to our website, goodhope.org. We have a woman by the name of Michael. You know her story. Let me just skim over it real fast for those of you who may be joining us for the first time. She's the daughter of King Saul. She becomes the wife of David after David slays the giant Goliath. Merab, her sister, was offered to anyone who defeated the giant Goliath. But there was no way that Saul would anticipate that a little ruddy boy who was tending his father's sheep on the backside of a desert, that this boy would come down and defeat the giant Goliath. I'm going to talk maybe in this message, or in this series, I should say, around how to defeat the giants in your life. Because when people talk about a David and Goliath situation, it really wasn't that big of an upset. Because David understood the giant's strength, and he understood his own strengths. Save that for another message at another time. But here's what I want you to get. After Saul reneges on giving Merab, his oldest daughter, to the victor and gives her to another, he finds out that Michael, his younger daughter, is in love with David. And he says, I tell you what, David, I will give you Michael because Michael is in love with you. The only thing you have to give me is 100 Philistine foreskins. That's the dowry I want. I don't want money. I want blood. And he says that, the scripture says, because he anticipates that David is going to die in trying to fulfill that dowry. David is an overachiever, y'all. He asks for 100. David comes back with 200, lays him at his feet, says, where's my woman? And takes Michael as his wife. But David is hearing the rumors and the whispers in terms of Saul's envy of him. And so here's what happens. He says, I need to get rid of David. Because remember, they're singing songs, right? Every time David goes into battle, they're singing songs. Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his tens of thousands. And you can imagine the envy that rises up in him. He tries to kill David. Michael warns him. He leaves, and Saul exiles him and then takes Michael and gives her to another man. The Bible says that over and over again, the assassination attempts of Saul are not successful. David is gone, takes two new wives. Saul is now out of the picture. Abner negotiates to bring Michael back into the house. She comes back in at number three wife, and she left at number one wife. And the Bible says this conflict ensues. I want to suggest to somebody that when we look at this story and we see Michael's contempt for David, that the problem was not his worship. It just became an excuse for her to articulate what she was feeling all along. You ever dealt with somebody And two times I know people tell the truth is when they're angry and when they're drunk. They always gonna tell you the truth. Now they may come back later on. How many of y'all know I'm telling the truth? They may come back later. You know I didn't mean that. Oh no, yes you did. No, yes you did. Your anger and liquor are truth serums. Now I'm not saying they won't tell the truth other times, but I know those two times they will tell you the truth. Listen, this woman is sitting there and now she's angry. She's upset and she comes at David. On last week, I shared with you two simple things. Number one, you must recognize the presence of bitterness in your life, because you can't deal with it if you don't acknowledge that it's there. And many times the manifestation of it, Michael's anger reflected something that was stewing on the inside that she did not articulate any other time. It became an excuse for her to articulate what she was feeling in her heart. I told you, number two, that you must recognize the cause of bitterness in your life. You need to recognize the cause. What was the cause of it? A lot of times we respond to people's what, and we don't ask the question why. And here's what's interesting, David Donaldson, here's what's interesting. Many times when we talk about the what and the why, we talk about the what and the why for somebody else. We don't ask the why behind the what that we do and why we live the way we live, why we think the way we think. Because just like everybody else has a why behind their what, you have a why behind your what. What's the cause of bitterness? This woman in 1 Samuel loved her some David. In 2 Samuel, she has contempt for him, disdain for him. And we know she didn't get there by accident. Let's go to our second part today. And there's really one point. I've got four subpoints in here. And then I've got an exercise for you that I want you to put into effect if you want to move from conviction to a change in your conduct. Here's the point for today. Number one, you need to realize there are consequences when you have unresolved bitterness in your life. Everybody say consequences. Now listen, most folk don't want to deal with consequences. I'll deal with conviction. I may change my conduct, but don't give me too many consequences, right? I want to claim the grace of God. And when I claim the grace of God, I want the grace of God to give me an exemption from my consequences. And sometimes consequences are just what they are. They are consequences. Watch what the text says. Verse 17, the ark of the Lord was placed inside the special tent that David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. When he had finished, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Verse 19, then he gave a gift of food to every man and woman in Israel, a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. Then everyone went home. Verse 20, when David returned home to bless his family, Michael came out to meet him and said in disgust, how glorious the king of Israel looked today. He exposed himself to the servant girls like any indecent person might do. I want you to go down to verse 23. So Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her life. Now I want you to think about this, y'all. He blesses God. He blesses the people of God. And he's on his way to bless his household. We don't know what the blessing of his household entailed. We don't know if it was to bless the workers and the servants in his household. We don't know if there was a special blessing coming for his wife. We don't know what that blessing was. All we know is because of her bitterness, listen carefully, the blessing never made it to the house. he's coming to the house. She can't let him get in the house before she meets him outside of the house to let him know there's trouble in the house. And the text says she remained childless throughout her life. She was born the daughter of a king. She was married and became the wife of a king, but her bitterness kept her from becoming the mother of a king. Someone in here today, you are missing the blessings that are on the way that God wants to give you. And they can't be delivered because your bitterness is blocking the blessings God has for you and keeping them from reaching your home. This bitterness thing is real, y'all. And you do know you can be a functionally bitter person. Right? So it's not like bitterness just handcuffs you. It's not like bitterness won't let you lift your hands in church. It's not like bitterness won't let you sing your song. Oh no, you lift your hands and you'll sing your song, but here's what bitterness will do. Bitterness will deceive you into thinking that you are right when you are wrong, and bitterness will lead you to believe that you are justified when you're unjustified. Let me show you four consequences that happen when you're bitter. See if any of these show up in your life. A, your bitterness can affect you physically. Your bitterness can affect you physically. Look at Job, verse 23 of Job 21. One dies in his full vigor, being wholly at ease and secure. His pails full of milk and the marrow of his bones moist. Another dies in bitterness of soul, never having tasted prosperity. Your bitterness will affect you physically. Let's look at David. How do you think he felt after all he had been through and all the Lord had allowed him to accomplish, to walk in and get attacked by his wife? Like, what do you think when... I'm thinking, honestly, here's what I'm thinking, y'all. I'm going to go where angels fear to tread. You got to be careful. It's not enough to recognize you've been used by the devil. You got to know you're going to be used by the devil before you let the devil use you. Don't come back talking about, but the devil, you know, I was used by the devil. Now, can you figure that out before you get used? We can look at this text, and this woman was clearly used by the devil, and I'm telling you, bitterness can affect you physically. That anger that resides within you, it can affect you. It can raise your blood pressure. It'll make you sleep wrong. It'll weaken your immune system. See, bitterness manifests itself through anxiety, through headaches, through stress, through ulcers, and other physical illnesses. Some people are not tired because of work. They're tired because of bitterness. You can smile publicly and still be inflamed internally. And God says you got to recognize that some of your physical maladies have nothing to do with forces that are coming at you from the outside, but it's stuff unresolved that you're carrying around on the inside. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm right. Preach, Cofield. See, you need a prescription to release the bitterness because your body was not designed to carry that level of resentment as long as you've been carrying it. Let's go to B. your bitterness will affect your relationship with others. Your bitterness will affect your relationship with others. Look at Colossians 3:13, the New Living Translation. Let's read it together. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the other person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Bitterness will affect how you deal with the one who hurt you. Bitterness will affect how you deal with others after you've been hurt by somebody else. Bitterness will fracture future relationships and fellowship, and bitterness will keep you from receiving the forgiveness you want from God. You got to look in the mirror, y'all. Check yourself. And can I tell you something about bitterness? You don't have to go off to be bitter. You don't have to cuss and fuss to be bitter. You don't have to rant and rave to be bitter. Some of y'all are passive aggressive in your bitterness. Because bitterness affects how you see others, and bitterness affects how you see other people seeing you. Right? I went to the eye doctor this past week. And, you know, they give you all these lenses and they put them up and can you see it? What's better, one or two? Two or three, right? And, you know, she put some lenses in front of me and I couldn't see anything. And she said, what's the bottom line that you can read? And I said, none of them, right? Can't read anything. My eyesight didn't change the lens I was looking through. Affected what I could see. I'm trying to help somebody in here because bitterness is like a lens that you see the world through. You see yourself and you see everybody else and you interpret everybody's actions through the lens that you're looking through. That's why bitterness is called by some a relational acid. It corrodes marriages, corrodes friendships. It corrodes church culture if you're not careful. But think about this. One bitter person in the room can change the atmosphere of that room. See, Michael didn't criticize David. She confronted him in disgust. She took it out of the house, y'all. Took it to the streets. Folk following him, they celebrating, they praying, and she came out there and she gonna read him in front of other folk because she got a point to make. Listen, one of the remedies for bitterness is forgiveness, and it's making allowance for other people's flaws and faults. And if God made allowance for you, who are you to hold accounts and keep receipts against other people? See, forgiveness is not excusing behavior. It's refusing to let that behavior and that bitterness that comes from that behavior to harden your heart. Look at C. Your bitterness will affect your fellowship with God. Your bitterness will affect your fellowship with God. Mark 11, verse 25. Let's read it together. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Bitterness will not necessarily keep you from functioning in your flesh. You go through the motions, but bitterness will hurt you in your spirit. Because unresolved hurt, fear, and frustration will hurt your fellowship with God. See, whatever somebody has done to you is not the greatest crime that has been committed against you. The greatest crime is when you continue to commit and allow that offense to bother you and you do it to yourself. Right? And so when you get to a place where you're praying and it seems like you on mute or God's on mute, and he's not hearing you, or you're not hearing him, maybe the question is, what's going on inside of you? Because before you can pray for increase, you got to pray for forgiveness. Before you can ask for a blessing, you've got to release bitterness. Here's D. Your bitterness will keep you from fulfilling your God-given potential. Your bitterness will keep you from fulfilling your God-given potential. David, verse 20, 2 Samuel 6, returned home to bless his family. Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. Now, verse 23 says, Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her life. Matter of fact, the text says, so Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless, right? That so is basically saying there's a effect that she has experienced that's caused by her prior behavior, right? You have contempt and disdain for David. You go out to check him, and the Bible says, because of what you did, here's where you ended up. Watch this. She checks David, and David does not block her blessings. She blocked her own blessings. Y'all, bitterness is a self-inflicted wound, y'all. I don't care what anybody did. Whenever you turn the gun and shoot yourself, that's a self-inflicted wound. This woman blocked her own blessings. Now, let's be careful. This is not saying that every difficult circumstance is punishment. But here's what the writer is intentionally doing. He's connecting a consequence to her contempt. He's saying there's a relationship here. She remained childless because her bitterness caused her to miss the blessing that was on the way to her and her household. Her bitterness kept her from receiving a husband and the blessing that was on its way through her husband. Blessing is coming through her husband. She can't receive it because she was bitter. She didn't like what was going on. Now, I know what some people are going to say. Well, she has a right to her opinion. Her feelings are legitimate. And you're right. So are the consequences that come from your legitimate feelings. Right? You can't just sit there and say, oh, well, I feel the way I feel. And there's no consequences. This woman deals with the consequences. David pours himself out in worship. She can't encourage him because she was closed off in judgment. David is blessing everybody. And she became barren in her own spirit because of her bitterness. Her inward action, her contempt, produced an equal and opposite reaction, her barrenness. That's the connection. Her heart posture shaped her life outcome. Her bitterness robbed her of her blessings. When you react to someone with bitterness, you don't cancel their celebration, you cancel your own blessings. Let me say it again for somebody, because you missed it. When you react to someone with bitterness, you don't cancel their celebration. You cancel your own blessings. Somebody said, how do you know that, Pastor? Because David's house continued, but her womb was closed. Bitterness will always produce barrenness somewhere in your life. Let me close by just telling you this. Many of us are functioning, but we're not flourishing. You're moving, but your movement is not meaningful. You're breathing, but you're not blessed like you could be, because bitterness will let you function before it lets you flourish. Listen to what Job said. Look at Job 7:11. I cannot keep from speaking. I must express my anguish. My bitter soul must complain. Ooh. Is your complaining a manifestation of your bitterness? Like your outward complaining, is that a manifestation of the bitterness that you're handling internally? Look at verse 1 of Job chapter 10. I am disgusted with my life. Let me complain freely. My bitter soul must complain. You must be careful to not live your life in disgust and die with a bitter soul. Bitterness will sit in your heart and show up in your health. It'll tighten your chest. It'll steal your sleep. It'll drain your strength. You may look fine on the outside, but bitterness will eat you alive on the inside, and it won't stop there. Bitterness will crawl out of your heart and climb into your relationships. You'll start counting faults instead of extending grace. You'll rehearse offenses instead of releasing those offenses. And when you refuse to address the bitterness in your life, you won't imprison somebody else. You'll imprison yourself. And eventually, it'll affect your relationship, your fellowship with God. The Bible says Michael remained childless her entire life, because the blessings that were on the way could never be delivered. And I had to ask myself, why would God say she remained childless her entire life? And I'm thinking, I wonder if David, in his mind, was on his way home. He's excited. He's grateful. He's going to be with his wife. I wonder if he's thinking, man, we gonna have a baby. She left number one wife. She came back number three. But I love that girl. I'm a bless my household. Are you following me? And the text says she come out fussing. And he was like, no, never mind. I'm good. And the text says she was childless. And watch this. We know from the scripture there was nothing wrong with David. Right? We knew he could have a child. Right? Come on, Bathsheba. Come testify. Ain't nothing wrong with David. So what happened in the midst of that? So today I want to challenge you to let it go. Let go of what they said. Let go of what they did. Let go of what you lost. Let go of the apology you never got. Let go of the moment that's still locked in your memory. Because if you don't release it, it will restrict you. If you don't forgive, it will follow you. If you don't surrender, it will strangle you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for somebody under the sound of my voice. There's a consequence that they have failed to even identify or see as the consequence of their own bitterness. This woman in our text shows us the tragedy of acting out of bitterness, of acting out of anger, and the accountability that she experienced, the consequences that she experienced. I pray, God, that it will help somebody to see by the power of your Holy Spirit what they need to do in order to set themselves free. Help us to move from conviction to making a commitment to change our conduct. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you're in the house today, on your outline, you have a QR code. For those of you who are watching today, I prepared a tool for you, and it's called the Bitterness Self-Assessment Tool. If you can put that QR code up on the screen. And that Bitterness Self-Assessment Tool is a Likter scale designed for you to grade yourself. Now, let me start off by saying you got to answer honestly, right? Because there's no right or wrong answer. And I want to encourage somebody, don't answer the questions as you wish you were, right? Don't say, well, this is who I want to be. No, answer the questions based on who you are right now. Because if you can't be honest with yourself, I mean, sometimes we go to the doctor, for example, and we'll lie to the doctor. But you shouldn't lie to yourself. Is everybody hearing me today? You got to be honest with yourself. And so I want to encourage you today to do that, to be honest with yourself, to look at yourself and say, you know what, this is the area where I need to change. Travis, I just text that to you, if you can get that up on the screen. I want you to look at the physical and emotional indicators. I want you to look at the relationship indicators of bitterness. I want you to look at fellowship with God indicators, and I want you to look at purpose and potential indicators. There's 12 questions there. If you use the QR code, it'll actually tally it for you automatically, and it'll give you the results. 1 to 40, you may have processed most hurts, but stay vigilant. 41 to 80, you got some areas where you got to get to work. And 81 to 120, bitterness may be significantly affecting your spiritual health. Now, here's what I need you to know. Once you take that assessment, there's a guide for bitterness, a forgiveness prayer for bitterness that you'll get after you take this. Now, I know some of you, if you're here, you have it on your outlines already, right? For those of you who are watching, if you use the QR code, somebody may say, well, why didn't you give us the forgiveness prayer guide for bitterness at first? Because if you're not willing to admit you got a bitterness problem, they don't need to give you a prayer solution, right? It's like giving somebody a prescription for medicine and they don't think they're sick. You're just wasting your time. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little different. I want you to do it right now. I don't want you to wait till you get home, because some of y'all are going to wait till you get home and that outline's going to find a black hole somewhere. I want you to do it right now. You don't have to announce your score, right? But I want you to do it right now. You can use the QR code, use your tablet, your smartphone device, because I don't want you to leave here bitter. I want you to leave here better, y'all. And you can't address a problem until you acknowledge a problem exists. And as you go through this, here's what's going to happen. The Lord's going to bring some stuff back to your remembrance. Holy Spirit, bring it back. And somebody, you're going to say, ooh, E, I. You know, you're going to go through all the vowels, you know. A, E, I, O, ooh. Amen. Toggle between those two. Go back to the QR code in case somebody still wants to use it. Keep on working. Old song said, give me a clean heart. Give me a clean heart so I may serve thee. Lord, fix my heart so that I may be used by thee. For I'm not blessings. Give me a clean heart and I'll follow thee. Everybody who can, everybody who will, stand on your feet wherever you are. If you're here today and you've never asked the Lord into your life, those of you who are watching, Gladiators are in the chat today. If you want somebody to pray with you, pray for you. If you want somebody to counsel with you and encourage you, you can let them know in the chat and they'll put that link in the chat so you can have a private conversation with them via Zoom right now. But if you're here and you want to ask the Lord into your life, you want to become part of our church family, y'all, I want you to know that, man, I am so far past trying to impress people. I want to impact you. I want to help you walk in the victory that God has for you. I don't want you to come and shout and holler, scream and run and pretend like everything is all right. And then when you leave here, you're struggling, hoping that you can get back next Sunday to get that same shout, run and dance. Right? I want you to walk in victory every day of your life. And so if you're here today, you need the Lord in your life. If you're here today and you want to make a decision to change your life today, the men and women who are up front, and there are others who are all around who are able to share with you and help you overcome some things. For somebody, maybe bitterness is that stronghold that you've been wrestling with. You didn't know what to call it, but it is what it is. Come on and come right now. We won't look at you funny. We'll rejoice when you come. If you're looking for a church home, remember, man, we are an imperfect people. I'm an imperfect pastor, but I serve a perfect God. And I welcome you to join us with all of your imperfections so that you can make a move to become who God wants you to be. Come on and come as Elder Taylor sings.
Give me a clean heart so I may serve thee. I'm not worthy of all these blessings. Give me a clean heart, and I'll follow thee.
Father, as we prepare now to worship you in our giving, we pray that our giving would be an accurate reflection of our love for you. For you said where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. And so, God, I pray that as we worship you in giving today, on this Sunday when we celebrate sacrificial giving, that we would give and make our investment in the kingdom work of what you have blessed us with. We love you and we thank you, and we ask these blessings in Jesus' name.